So we're into 6G now. I just finished 5G. I was a leader on 5G getting that done. And now they're up to 6.
Let's do it again.
What does that do? Give you a little bit deeper view into somebody's skin? See how perfect it is? I like the cameras the old days. So they just had a nice feature. Now they cover every little. Let's see, Michael, well, you're in good shape. You're not gonna. But I tell you, the 6 is coming, huh?
It's coming.
Does it ever end? And what happens? You'll be into 7, right? Before 6 gets old, you'll be into 7. Is that to give you a little bit deeper view into somebody's skin?
Scott with SJWellfire.com. Final Days Report, episode 470. Well, you heard it from Trump talking about, with a Freudian slip, how 6G can see through your skin. 6G is so wicked. It is the backbone of this AIB system. It's a network run by artificial intelligence that scans everything, even things that aren't hooked up to the net. And they'll probably be hooked up to the net with smart dust. Every blade of grass will be measured, and artificial intelligence will be in the backbone of the 6G system, making decisions real time. This has so many ramifications. This is so deep. This is so nefarious. Who can make war with the beast? But we're going to get into this 6G of what it is. This is a bit of a refresher, but I even learned multiple things on how this is an abomination. It reminds me of the scripture, if Jesus doesn't come back, no flesh will be left, because we are going to be hit with basically a laser 24/7. This is a war on you. This is 1984 on steroids. All right, so let's get into what is 6G. Well, 6G is really a quantum leap from 5G, up to 1,000 times faster, 1 TBPS. I think that stands for terahertz. And it's ultra low latency in the microsecond range. I heard experts calling this a laser, and I'm going to play a video at the end of what this does. But picture 5G shooting out sound waves directly to things that are connected, like your cell phone or appliances. 6G blankets the whole town, the whole earth, especially if they put this stuff up in satellites. This is getting bombarded 24/7. I was watching an interview of somebody that was warning about different studies about 6G. First of all, it heats tissue. It penetrates your blood and veins. And think of all the nanotech in us, from whatever they're dumping on us, whatever is in the food supply. And of course, as the days of Noah, devil juice. I'll put up a thumbnail of things that they found under the microscope. And yes, people showed up as Mac IDs after the as the days of Noah, devil juice. And 6G powers this stuff. We'll get into it on a later slide. Now, this expert also talked about cell and DNA damage. So if they're heating your skin with 6G, of course there's going to be cell and DNA damage. And she went on to say it destroys your gut biome. That's important for your immune system. It's a laser beam. We've talked about the World Economic Forum. There was a CEO there that said, by 2030, you're going to be the cell phone. I'll see if I can dig that video up.
I wanted to ask when you all think we're going to move from this form factor to something that's on your face, glasses, and compute, when computing's all on the edge.
All right. 50 seconds. Who wants to answer quickly?
I think it will go. It will. First of all, it will definitely happen. I was talking about 6G earlier, which is around 2030. I would say that by then, definitely the smartphone as we know it today will not anymore be the usual, kind of the most common interface. Wow. Many of these things will be built directly into our bodies.
The U.S. government's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency developed what they call Next Generation Non-Surgical Neurotechnology, designed to allow the human brain to directly interface with machines.
Know that DARPA is exploring
human-machine interfaces that include direct connections between the brain and outside systems.
So the connectivity will shift to wearables. Think RFK Jr. pushing the wearables for your healthcare, smart glasses. All of this reminds me of the Mark of the Beast infrastructure that will be in place. And again, this brain-computer interface, Internet of Things, Internet of Nano Things, having 100% self-awareness, monitoring everything real-time with artificial intelligence at the backbone of everything. Unlike previous generations, 6G is being designed as an AI-native network, where artificial intelligence handles network optimization and anticipates users' needs automatically. It's Big Brother. It's going to measure the trackers. It's going to feed ID 2020, the digital papers, please. And again, the video at the end explains how wicked this is, but I want to prime the pump of where they're going. All right, all of this fuels brain-computer interface, and I don't think they need a massive chip in your head. They have non-invasive surgery. They have the nanotech that goes across the blood-brain barrier that we talked about. 6G and AI together will redefine human-machine interaction by enabling seamless brain-computer interface. This is a white paper from Platforms with terahertz bandwidth, sub-millisecond latency, and edge intelligence. 6G creates the real-time fabric for transmitting and processing neural signals. You got to go back and just watch a lot of our old videos where we cover this technology, measuring your brain waves at work, understanding your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, and manipulating them. As Elon Musk said, when you hook up with brain-computer interface and sign the terms of agreements, it has read-write capabilities. It can plant memories in you. But they need AI as the overlay to the 6G artificial intelligence little e-god Tower of Babel network. AI decodes the complexity of brain activity, turning thought into speech, movement, and immersive AR, VR control. Virtual reality control. All of this fits the digital twins. They need to make digital twins of you, of everything, so they can run simulations of desired outcomes for the future. It's almost like the digital twin is a fake heaven. Everything is a counterfeit, my friends. Beyond medical breakthroughs, that's how they're going to sell you this nonsense, like restoring speech or mobility, brain-computer interface will unlock new consumer experiences and even collective intelligence. One hive mind, the Tower of Babel 2.0. Lucifer wants to be all-knowing like God, and this gives him a means to do it, or partially do it. And this, again, fits the transhumanism agenda. The 6G ecosystem classifies Internet of Body devices into three primary generations. First generation, wearables. That's what they're trying to hook you in with RFK Jr., smartwatches and fitness trackers that are increasingly powered by flexible solar cells or kinetic harvesters. There's a lot of stuff of harvesting your energy. Remember the articles we've covered probably 30 times of 6G that you're going to power 6G, humans will? They're going to harvest your energy. And again, wearables is nothing short of Big Brother understanding what you're doing. Now, the second generation, internal implantable or ingestible devices such as digital pills or smart pacemakers that use 6G wireless power transfer to recharge without surgery. There's something about the 6G that powers this or allows your energy, your 2 watts of energy, to power these different devices. And then the third generation is this brain-computer interface, this nanotech that goes across the blood-brain barrier. And 6G is highly efficient integrated power management systems within this. Do you see how all these things come together? The driverless cars, the smart cities, the satellites, the Stargate artificial intelligence, this biohacking of you, Operation Warp Speed, war on your seed, iron mixed with clay as the days of Noah, Tower of Babel as the days of Lot. All of this is end of day stuff. This is a control grid like nothing we've ever seen before. It's 6G. we've covered this multiple times, enables holographic calls, a hologram. That's the dream I had in 2008, a hologram where everybody thought that the Antichrist, the hologram, was real, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This was like this fake resurrection. 6G is the backbone of this, run by artificial intelligence. All of this supports so much. 24/7 monitoring. This supports pre-crime. This supports knowing your thoughts, as Trump said, seeing under your skin. This reminds me of the Microsoft 666 patent, 06-06-06 patent, where they measure you, what you're doing, via either wearables or eventually under the skin, probably the Mark of the Beast system, and you need to do a said test to get your money. Watch a commercial. Dig a ditch. Go hunt a Christian. 6G networks will act like a giant sensor. The whole thing with 6G is it's gonna watch everything, allowing devices to see around corners and map physical environments using radio waves, integrated sensing and communication. The technology will support digital twins, virtual replicas of people or objects to simulate and monitor real-world scenarios instantly. So that's where they're gonna do their scenario planning. We want to move the world into smart cities. How do we do this? And they'll have their digital infrastructure to do gaming exercises. Oh, it's wicked. It's wicked beyond measure. And this just reminds me of, again, 6G being powered by you. Remember the Department of Energy funded the Genome Project. I've said this three or four times. One of the creepiest videos I've ever done. And then linked to the Eugenics Institute. But it's about stealing your soul. It's about a war on your blood. Going back to the video, the interview I watched on Redacted with the expert saying, 6G penetrates your blood and your veins. This is a war on your blood. But human body harvesting, future Internet of Body devices will draw power directly from the human body through thermal energy, or really it says may, harvesting heat from skin surfaces, vibration energy, converting physical movement into electricity, body-coupled power, using the body itself as a medium to conduct power from the central hub, like a smartwatch. People have put on different smart watches and trackers and have blown up, especially Apple devices. So what happens when this is some sort of nanotech that is either activated by this 6G system? What's going to happen with these sores? And again, if 6G heats your skin, then thermal energy can heat these devices. This palisade, when you look at the Mark of the Beast, the smartwatch that we've covered from the cartoon. And it just reminds me of how people will get sores. Well, we know the nanotech is some sort of machine, but do they need hardware or software to connect all the dots with this biohacking agenda? And then if 6G can penetrate your blood, where the nanotech is, in veins, and in your brain, and it heats your skin, and thermal energy harvests the thermal energy as you're getting heated up, will actually power these Internet of Body devices. How does that fit Revelation 16? So how does that fit Revelation 16 too? These devices are getting powered, and all of a sudden they get this grievous sore upon them that took the mark of the beast, Revelation 16 too. And they took the mark of the beast and they worshiped the image. Two separate things. It's coming together so, so fast. This just reminds me of the wearables where people are getting infected. And 6G, going back to Trump, seeing under the skin, he's not lying. This is a military operation. You're going to watch theater. You're going to watch total theater with war. Death will be real and contrived famines. sickness and pestilence, like we saw with the pandemic, and the grid goes down, all of it, to bring on this final solution. But let's play the video of 6G. This blows me away. I didn't know it blanketed everything versus like shooting lasers at you, at your cell phone, at your devices. This is going to be monitoring every blade of grass. This is going to be 1984 on steroids. How are you going to even get past this? It's basically like radar everywhere is how they describe it. This is why they want you in the smart city. This is the all-seeing eye. I want you to look at the Luciferian all-seeing eye in this video. It's wickedness. It's absolute wickedness. Have no fear, my friends. Pray for wisdom. I think there needs to be some companies that figure out, and I know they have them for 5G, but figure out this next generation laser wave technology, and that's what I'm calling it, to block it. To block it wherever you are. Because it's coming and it's coming fast. God bless. Thank you for your support.
6G. And look, this isn't just about your downloads getting faster. We are talking about a complete reinvention of what a network even is. A network that doesn't just connect us, but one that actively senses the world around us. Now, this creates a huge problem. How can one system be great at two totally conflicting jobs at the same time? Well, there's a really clever AI trick that solves this, and we're going to get to it. But first, let's unpack this incredible new power.
I really want you to think about this question for a second, because it is the heart of everything we're about to cover. What if the very same network that brings you video calls could also spot an unauthorized drone near an airport, or see a pedestrian step onto a foggy highway, or even watch your hand gestures to control a machine? I know it sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie, but this is exactly the world that 6G is promising to build. So first up, a network that sees. How on earth do you give a network the sense of sight? Let's break down the core technology that really separates 6G from everything that's come before.
The secret sauce behind all of this is a technology called Integrated Sensing and Communication, or ISAC for short. And, you know, the name says it all. The network is no longer just a pipeline for data. It's also becoming a massive distributed sensor, using its own signals to map the physical world in real time. It's a total game changer.
This right here really shows you the fundamental difference. 5G is fantastic, right? It's great at connecting things that want to be connected. Your phone, your smart TV, all that stuff. But 6G with ISAC, it adds this whole other layer. It can sense passive objects. Things with no electronics, no chips, no way of talking back. We're talking about a person, a car, a piece of equipment in a factory. The network is going from just connecting participants to being aware of its entire environment.
Okay, so that brings us to the next big question. How is this even possible? To get our heads around that, we need to peel back the layers and look at the physics. And you'll see, it's not magic, it's actually a brilliant new take on a technology that's been around for a long time, just supercharged for the 6G era.
The core idea here is radar. We're all familiar with it, right? Air traffic control, the speed gun a police officer uses. It's the same basic principle. You send out a radio wave, it hits something, and a very faint echo bounces back to you. And by analyzing that echo, you can learn a whole lot about whatever it hit.
So here's how it works in practice. A cell tower sends out its normal communication signal, usually something called an OFDM waveform. Now, while part of that signal is heading straight for your phone, the rest of it just radiates out, bouncing off everything in the area. A tiny, tiny fraction of that energy might hit a car and then reflect back to a receiver. So by measuring exactly how long that echo took to get back, the network calculates the car's distance. And by measuring the tiny shift in the echo's frequency, that's the Doppler effect, it can figure out its precise speed.
And that brings us to the hardware that makes it all work, MIMO. Now, 5G already uses what we call massive MIMO, panels with dozens of antennas. But 6G is moving towards something called gigantic MIMO, with maybe hundreds or even thousands of tiny antenna elements. Think of it like this. A single antenna is like a flashlight, with one big wide beam. Gigantic MIMO, on the other hand, is like having thousands of tiny, perfectly synchronized laser pointers that you can steer electronically instantly. This gives the network unbelievable angular resolution. It can tell the difference between two objects that are right next to each other. And with that kind of precision, you're not just detecting a car. You could potentially detect the subtle vibrations of a bridge, or monitor a person's breathing from across the room, or even track the individual hand movements of a worker in a factory. It's like the network is painting the world with radio waves and seeing the reflections in high definition. Now, the network can arrange its eyes and ears in a few different ways. The simplest is monostatic, where a single cell tower sends the signal and listens for the echo. But the big problem there is that it's like trying to hear a whisper while you're shouting. So a smarter way is bistatic sensing, where one tower transmits and a different one listens. That solves the interference problem, but they have to be perfectly synced up. The real goal, though, is multistatic sensing. This is where the entire network works together,
multiple towers transmitting and receiving, combining all their data to create a complete 360-degree picture with no blind spots. And the signals themselves can be a bit different, too. Old-school radar often uses these short pulses of energy to measure distance, but ISAC is way more likely to use continuous wave signals, which, it just so happens, are a lot like the signals already used for communication. And these continuous signals are fantastic for measuring that Doppler shift to get super precise velocity data. This is so critical for things like tracking vehicles or even monitoring the health of a bridge by its vibrations. It's just a brilliant way of using what's already there for a completely new purpose. So, Section 3, the AI Optimization Engine. We've got a network that can talk and see, but this creates a massive challenge. How do you manage a system that's trying to do two totally different, conflicting things at the same time? Well, the answer is AI, and not just any AI. This AI has to live at the very physical layer of the network, the deep down level where the radio waves themselves are being created. Why? Because these trade-offs are happening millisecond by millisecond, and only an AI that's built right in is fast enough to handle.
And here it is, the central problem. The perfect radio signal for sending data as fast as possible is often a terrible signal for getting a clear radar image. And the perfect crisp signal for sensing might be really inefficient for communication. It's a constant tug of war. If you optimize for one, the other gets worse. And trying to solve this with normal algorithms is just way too slow for a live network. This is exactly where the AI has to step in. So instead of training two separate AIs, one that's a communication expert and another that's a sensing expert, the solution is something called multitask learning, or MTL. Think of it this way. An MTL model is one single unified AI. It has these shared layers at its core that learn the fundamental things about the radio environment that are useful for both jobs. Then it branches off into specialized layers that fine-tune the output for communication on one side and for sensing on the other. By learning them together, the AI actually gets better at both jobs, finding clever trade-offs that two separate models would never discover.
So how does the AI actually pull off this balancing act? Well, first, you give it its two goals. Number one, get the data through as fast as possible. Number two, get the most accurate location and speed of your target. Then, and this is the really clever part, you combine the error scores for both tasks into what's called a joint loss function. This creates a single overall performance score. And finally, the AI's entire job, moment to moment, is to tweak the live network, the shape of the radio waves, the direction of the beams, to get that combined error score as low as it can possibly go. It's constantly finding the perfect compromise.
Now, making these decisions in real time is an insanely difficult computing problem. That's where a technique like algorithm unrolling comes in. So remember that AI puzzle I mentioned at the very beginning? This is the answer. It is a really clever way to take a complex traditional algorithm and basically unroll its logic into the very structure of a neural network. This essentially bakes the optimization process right into the AI, making it incredibly fast. Fast enough to run at the physical layer and make those split-second decisions a live 6G network needs.
All right, we've gone deep on the how. Now let's get to the really exciting part, the so what. I mean, what can we actually do with a world that is being constantly sensed by our digital infrastructure?
Well, the applications are pretty mind-blowing. In transportation, imagine a network that tells an autonomous car about a cyclist coming around a blind corner that its own sensors can't see yet. In a factory, it could guarantee that a giant robotic arm never, ever collides with a human worker. It could even let a worker in a deafeningly loud factory control a machine with simple hand gestures. And all of this leads to an even bigger idea, the digital twin. Because the network is constantly sensing its environment, it can build a live one-to-one digital copy of the physical world. Imagine a digital twin of an entire city that lets you simulate traffic patterns to eliminate jams, or a digital twin of a factory that lets you predict when a machine will fail before it happens. This is really the ultimate goal, a network that doesn't just connect our world, but truly understands it.
And that brings us to our final section, an unblinking network. Okay, we have seen the incredible, almost utopian potential of this technology, but this kind of power comes with enormous responsibility. A network that can see everything raises some very serious questions about privacy. Specifically, if the network can see someone who never opted in, how does that possibly work with privacy laws like GDPR? Let's get right into that challenge.
This quote from Ericsson Research just cuts right to the heart of the problem. The way we've always handled data privacy is based on consent. You click, I agree on the terms of service. But how does a pedestrian walking down the street consent to being sensed by the 6G network? How does a car driving down the highway? As the researchers themselves say, a consent-based model just seems completely infeasible for this kind of passive wide-area sensing.
This forces us to ask a really direct and really difficult question. Who's responsible here? Is it the mobile network operator? Is it the company that builds an app using the sensing data? Is it the government that regulates it all? We are building a technology that will create a staggering amount of data about our physical world, and we honestly haven't figured out the rules to government yet.
You know, walking this privacy tightrope means facing some huge challenges. You've got data being collected from people who don't even know their users. That's in direct conflict with rules like GDPR, which are all built around the idea of a person knowingly sharing their data. There's a very real danger that this infrastructure could be used for unauthorized surveillance. And of course, just think about the security. Securing this massive new trove of sensitive location data is going to be an absolutely monumental task.
So what's the answer? Well, the general thinking from experts right now is that the first wave of ASAC will probably need to steer clear of that ethical minefield of broad commercial use. Instead, the focus will likely be on applications that have a really clear, established legal basis.
And we'll end on this thought.
The technology to create an all-seeing network isn't a question of if anymore. It's a question of when, and more importantly, how. ISAC is a fundamental shift in how we relate to our digital world. It offers incredible safety and efficiency, but it also presents a surveillance capability on a scale we have never seen before. The challenge for all of us, the engineers, the policymakers, the citizens, is to build the rules and the ethical frameworks to make sure this powerful new vision serves us without turning us into the subjects of its unblinking gaze.